Greetings. I'm actually Ezekiel speaking from Amos's room. Before we start, I'd just like to open in prayer. Father God, we come into your presence today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you purpose. And Father, as we look at your word, may we be touched in heart and in spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, when I was at high school, I joined in a group called... I've forgotten the name of it now. I'm having a senior moment. Anyway, it was a high school Christian group. And we had this fellow walk into the room, and he wrote on the blackboard these letters, TKCATMHK. And he said, "Does anyone know what this means?" Well, I didn't, and no one else in the room did except one lady, one girl. She put her hand up and he said, "What does it mean?" She said, "To know Christ and to make him known." That struck a chord in my heart. And I'd like to speak today on what it is to know Christ and to make him known. I'd like to look first at the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4. Now Jesus came to her at the well, and there was a conversation. And she said, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said, "I that speak to thee am he." Now, up till this point, she knew about Jesus. There was a great gulf between the Samaritans and the Jews because they worshipped in different places. The Samaritans worshipped on Mount Gerizim, and the Jews worshipped in Jerusalem. And there was a lot of angst between the two groups. The group separated out when they came back from captivity. And the Jews actually eventually destroyed the Samaritan temple on Mount Gerizim. There was just a lot of hatred there. But when Jesus said, "I that speak to thee am he," this woman had a revelation. She had a revelation of the presence and person of Jesus Christ. And she went away to the people in the town and she said, "Come see a man who told me all things I have ever done. Is not this the Christ?" When she met Jesus and moved from knowing about him to knowing him, there was an immediate change in her life. And she started talking about him. Now, I remember some years ago, actually well over 30 years ago now, when I met the woman who is now my wife. I couldn't stop talking about her. I was in love. And I loved her. And she was a prime part of my being. I just wanted to be with her. And I'd tell anyone who would listen about this beautiful young lady. And even those who didn't want to listen, I'd tell them. I was in love. Now this woman of Samaria met Jesus and was changed. And I've no doubt that she had a love for Jesus because she had been believing in the Messiah. And she met him face to face. Now I'd like to go over to Acts chapter 9, and a man called Saul of Tarsus. Now Saul was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He trained at the feet of a mighty man called Gamaliel. And Saul was a man who had gone about persecuting the Jews. Persecuting the Christians. Saul was a Jew. He was persecuting the Christians. He'd even given assent to the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Now Saul was on his way to Damascus with the authority of the Jewish people to arrest Christians and bring them back and have them thrown in prison. And on the way, he was struck down by a blinding light. And this voice he heard said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And we read in the scriptures that Saul answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And when we go back into the Greek, the word there is kurios, which is translated Lord or Sir. And I like to think that in this situation, it would probably better be translated, Sir. Who are you, Sir? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, is the response that he hears. Go into the city and it shall be told you what you shall do. Now he'd been struck down and made blind. He was told to go into a city and meet with a certain man who would talk to him and pray for him that his sight be restored. Saul did that. And the change in Saul was dramatic. Saul became Paul, the greatest missionary this world has ever known. He suffered for his faith. See, he knew a lot about Jesus. But in that instant, when Jesus spoke to him and said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he had a revelation of who Jesus was. And he moved from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. Now I'd like to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Now this is a very interesting verse. When the Spirit comes upon you, when you come into a relationship, a personal one-on-one relationship with the living Jesus Christ. See, when he spoke to the woman of Samaria, he hadn't been crucified and raised from the dead. When he spoke to Paul, he had been crucified, he'd been raised from the dead and ascended into glory and sent the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Now, in today's thinking, power is tied up with authority. Now, in the Greek, there's two words that are translated power. There's exousia and dunamis. Now, I like to describe the difference between these as exousia being the power that a policeman has to stop a car, and dunamis as the power that a car has to stop a policeman. It's quite a dramatic difference. Now, in this passage in Acts 1:8, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And in the Greek there is dunamis. You will receive a power that rises up within you. It's the same root word that we get dynamo, dynamic, dynamite. Dunamis. Now, that power is received from a higher authority, from Jesus Christ. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Now what happened, excuse me, what happened to the woman of Samaria? She became a witness to Jesus Christ. "Come see a man who told me all things I've ever done. Is not this the Christ?" What happened to Saul of Tarsus, aka Paul? became the greatest missionary that has ever lived on earth, a witness to the power of Jesus Christ. But this word witness is an interesting one too, because it's in the Greek it's martyrios, and it's the same root word for martyr. So when we receive that power from God, there's a responsibility goes with it. We will receive that power and we will be his witnesses. And we must be prepared to suffer for that witness. Because I tell you what, Jesus suffered a lot for you and I. So basically, I think that's what it is to know Christ and to make him known. To know Christ is to move from knowing about the historical Jesus to knowing Jesus Christ living and alive today, relevant to us, and moving into a relationship with him where he's in the driver's seat. And when that happens, we will receive power and we will be his witnesses. And we better be prepared for what that costs. But that's what it is to know Christ and to make him known. Thank you very much.